Hello and welcome to the Heads and Volleys podcast with me, Lee Dunn.
In this episode, I'm going to touch on how much you have the ball in play in your training sessions. And this came from a conversation with a good friend of mine whose club has a philosophy, a model, a curriculum, a style of play, a style of training that demands the ball to be in play for 70% of the time. And I never really thought about how much time the ball is in play. It's just something I guess I've become used to doing over time, of setting up an environment to have the ball in play, to maximize my players' attention, to maximize their attendance at practice, especially since right now we're only training twice a week. Sometimes you train three times, maybe even four times if you're lucky. And so if you can maximize it even further, then even better. So 70% as a baseline. Now, I've been working with some coaches, and I'm going to include some audio from our most recent coaches call where I challenge them on the same thing that I'm challenging you right now, which is, how often do you have the ball in play within your own practice? Could you hit 70%? Do you hit 60%? So as you listen through this call, and I'll finish once the call recording has completed and share with you just some little aspects and tips and tricks and things that I do and that we talked about in the call afterwards that maybe you can take into your next training session. The question I asked you guys was about training time. So just grab something that you can write down with, scribble on your phone, however you want to do it. And then I'm going to ask you for minutes. So how long do you think you spend doing each thing in your practice sessions? So the first thing will be water breaks. How often or how many minutes do you think in a typical session do your players or does your session include water breaks? And that includes, of course, saying stop, move on, go and get yourselves a drink, come right back. When you come right back, we'll move on. So how many minutes, and just write this down because I'll run through the list. So how many minutes do you think you spend on water breaks? And of course, it's been hotter, but give me an average. Then the next one will be about explaining or clarifying. How long do you spend explaining a drill, an activity, a game, the rules of the game? What happens if this happens or what happens if that happens? So that's clarifying questions. That's answering players with ridiculous questions or whatever they've got going on. How many minutes do you spend doing that? If you have to set up or move anything during the middle of your practice, you have to move goals, you have to pick up cones, you have to move cones. Maybe sometimes you have to extend it because you have more players, especially in our academy program. How many minutes do you spend just reorganizing in a typical practice? Then fetching soccer balls is another good one. How many minutes do you spend doing that? Okay, freeze out, the ball's gone out of play, that's the last one. On your way back from water break, maybe I need you to go and grab the balls, or before we can carry on, everybody grab a soccer ball and get set. How many minutes is that going to be? And then if you periodize, which on simple terms will be if you play 4 minutes and take 1 minute off, or if you play for 5 minutes and take 2 minutes off, however you will manage the workload for your players, what are those interval times? If it's 1 minute and you do four rounds, then you're doing 3 minutes between the four rounds, and then it goes into a water break perhaps. So just an idea of the amount of minutes that you spend in intervals. And then how much time do you spend coaching, whether it's a stop and freeze coaching? Okay, freeze everybody, put the ball back there, look at what Jose did right here, how could he do better, here is what we'd like to see, let's recreate that, let's move the ball across the field, now Jose's got it, what do we want him to do? They go look ahead, okay, ball back, let's rehearse that, now we're going to play again. So how many minutes on average does a stoppage take? And the simple thing may be a couple minutes per stoppage, and then it's however many stoppages you did in a certain practice or on average. Sometimes people try and do one every two intervals, or maybe they do one in an overall practice, or however that looks like. And then just tally that up real quick. And this will go full circle to the question I asked you, which was what percentage of time in your practice should the ball be in play? And there's a lot of academies in the UK that will train for an hour to 90 minutes, very similar to what we do. And they will try and keep the ball in play for between 70 and 80% of the time. And that includes everything that we just made a note of there. So if you know how to work out a percentage, please do. And I ran a training session tonight, so I'll give you a quick overview. In the core of the session, we had intervals, which were 5 minutes of play with a 1 minute break. So we had three intervals. We spent 10 minutes on water breaks, and I timed everything just on my watch. And it's because my players aren't very conditioned in actually maximizing their time, but that's okay. So 10 minutes of water breaks. Then it took 4 minutes thereabouts of explaining and clarifying with the players on what to do if this happens, or here's what we need when the ball comes back into play. Here's how this is going to happen. We actually had to move goals. It took 7 minutes to move two goals because the coach on the other side of the field was using the goal. And so we switched towards the end of the session so I could bring the goal up. But of course, I'm sending 14-year-old boys to go and get a goal, and it's never going to go smoothly. It's going to take them a while. So eventually they get the goal moved onto our half of the field. So it takes 7 minutes to reset the balls. To maximize my playing time, I get all of the balls set at starting positions. And then every so often we have to run and get the balls because they've all been kicked all over the field, which is okay. And that's 3 minutes. And then I took two coaching moments, which were just about 4 minutes. So overall, I spent 31 minutes out of a 90-minute session with stoppages and coaches. So overall, my ball was in play 66% of the time.
So I hope that as you listened to just the intro to the coach call there, you were running through the same ideas. Maybe you have training tonight, maybe you're in the car on the way to training, or you've just finished training and you're able to just quickly reflect on how training went for you and how many minutes you lost in your training session. We trained for 90 minutes and I lost a third of it. I'm going to say lost because it's time that the ball wasn't in play. And there's some structure in there too. Players were retrieving balls, as I said, or they were having water breaks. We're in California. It's 95, 96, even higher sometimes when we kick off practice at 5:30 p.m. So it's understandable that we're going to need frequent water breaks. But the call then went into a little bit deeper and how we can affect these things, because these things are real. You know, sometimes you don't have to move goals. And I talk about my players being conditioned in their understanding and execution of maximizing our training time. These players are new to me, so this is something that's going to grow. For example, every player brings a ball. So therefore, we have 16 players at practice. We have 16 balls on the field all the time. If I had my own balls, I have 10. So we already have six more balls in practice. If I took my own, we'd have 26 balls. We'd probably end up with balls all over the field, and I'd end up coming home with about four or five of them. So we're looking at intervals in our periodization and really using the time to effectively set ourselves up for success. Play for 5 minutes, you want 1 minute off. Well, within that 1 minute, if water bottles are right by the side of the field, you can give them time to have a quick drink. Then they play for another 5 minutes. And then in the next minute, maybe they need to grab the balls to reset. Maybe half the group grabs the balls, or we set in a 2 minute interval. So within those 2 minutes, they have enough time to grab a drink and to grab the balls. And it's really interesting working with youth players at this level and challenging them to be prepared, because a lot of the time they're not. They just show up and they just kind of go through the motions of whatever practice is. They wait to be told what to do and they don't really have all that much initiative. So one thing I've really spent a lot of time with on my players with is telling them what practice is going to be. We're going to do this for X amount of times. Between each round, we have this much time. Within that time, I need you to get a drink. I need you to get the balls. And then I also need to find time for coaching. So then I tell them, in this middle window, you're going to grab a drink and you're going to come right back to me. And I use players that are injured, for example. They will always be at my practice and they will always be getting the balls. There are some parents around the field every now and then. They will always get the balls for us too. It's all in our training economy. And so how much do you lose in your practice? And how can you tidy this little process up that I'm not even going into what we're doing in practice in terms of small-sided games, or maybe a half-field game, maybe you're doing some sort of scrimmage-based practice, maybe you've got kids dribbling around cones with the ball. Now,
if we're really focusing on our player development, the more the ball is in play, the more experience our players are going to get. But if we have the ball in play with one player and one ball whilst they execute our version of a quote-unquote drill while the other players are waiting, I don't count that as the ball in play. Number one, I don't do that anyway, but we don't count that as the ball in play because that's too many players that are unimpacted by the activity. You could play 20 versus 20 if you really wanted to, and if that ball is in play, there is a demand on every single player in the game. There is a demand on every single player to be ready, to be open, to be covering, to be offering support, whatever the deal is in that. So if you played a 7v7 game in practice and you have goalies, that ball is in play. And it's really important to understand when you plan your session, what that looks like for the ball being in play. So my challenge to you is to use an assistant, maybe just use your stopwatch, which is what I did roughly. So maybe I could probably take another couple minutes off there by the time I forget, or I maybe need to go back and remember to add a minute that I didn't add in when I was talking or going through the motions with the players. But if you have an assistant or even a parent that can just observe and they just start the stopwatch every time the ball goes out of play or every time the ball stops in the game. And by stop would be coach saying, okay, freeze, okay, time, okay, that'll do. Then start again when they stop it once the balls are playing again. And then just add it all up. And then begin to reflect. So we always talk about reflecting on what our training sessions are. I created a notebook and it's on Amazon. And it's all about a coach being able to reflect on everything that they do. And I use it because I think it's so important. Often we get through one session and the immediate subjective opinion is if the players did well or not. And old school coaches would know if the players did well or not, or judge the players by that, by allowing them to scrimmage. But if we just take a minute in the car after a game and write some notes, how did it really go? How did it really go for us? And how do I think the players did is number one. But then, did I lose time? Did I lose time unnecessarily? We had a YouTube sensation basketball player at our next training session. He was on the basketball courts behind us. Several hundred people come out of nowhere watching this guy strut his stuff. And my players are, of course, completely distracted because they know who this person is. They know what they're doing. They're excited by it because not every day you see a superstar, a social media superstar, on the side of your soccer field and all of this excitement. So then I take into consideration like that, and maybe the ball was actually really only in play for about 55% of the time. I'm okay with that because my challenge to them was, let's watch from our field right here and let's watch this guy get off of his bus and watch the crowd go crazy and maybe we can see some action. But then we've got to play and then we've got to get right back into what's going on. So I just use that moment while we're watching to talk to the boys and individually talk about whatever's going on in their life or how I can connect with them. So even though there's this massive distraction for our players, they're still being challenged in another way. And I think it's really important to just consider how we maximize that training time. If you get to training 10 minutes early and set up a scrimmage, players are going to arrive and they're instantly going to start playing. So you're already maximizing on those minutes that you might lose otherwise. Doesn't mean that you should tell your players to get there 30 minutes earlier because you want to maximize those 30 minutes that you're losing in training. That's not quite how I think it should work. But I really encourage you just to take this little activity up on your next training session. Think about where you're at. So tell me what you think. I want to know if this is something that may be groundbreaking for you, maybe something that you've never thought about. And as I said, it doesn't even consider what our activities are, but if we can really increase the economy of our training sessions, our players are going to leave. A, they'll probably be a little bit more tired because the ball's been in play more. They may enjoy it a little bit more. They may feel like they're getting more out of it. And then, of course, that's only going to lead into really good things going forward in the training sessions, being able to challenge the players and maximize that time. As coaches, we all wish that we have more time with our players. And this is one way that we can take back those minutes. So let me know what you think at Lead on Soccer, all social media.